Good morning, everyone. I welcome you to this worship service at Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. Today, we are joined once again by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netnay, by our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and by our musical director, Dave Valerio. If you're a visitor today, we hope you will be with us often. And Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. God said, let light shine out of darkness. That light has shone in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us call ourselves to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And this is the time we make some announcements. I'd like to call on Sherilyn Hepburn once again to talk to us about next Sunday especially.
Good morning. Just a reminder that next Sunday will be a family Sunday. It will be our first family Sunday of this kind of new year. There will be no Sunday school, and we have invited the Sunday school families to join us in the 10 a.m. service. And as we have done in previous years, there'll be a little segment kind of geared towards the kids with some music from Mr. Dave and a children's message from Pastor Glenn. So that will be next Sunday. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Sherilyn. I would just like to once again make a civic announcement here about voting. Please get out and vote. I believe early voting is going on in North Attleboro, and if you have your ballot that was mailed to you, you can bring it to the town hall. And there is a big box right there beside the mailbox, and you can put your ballot right in there. Is there anyone else who would like to make an announcement? Unmute yourself and be my guest. All right, hearing from no one, then Mr. Dave, would you please introduce us to your music?
Good morning, everybody. We're going to sing Maker in Whom We Live. And we have the lyrics posted in the chat section right now on the meeting. So if you go down and scroll and find the little chat button, you'd click on that, and the lyrics are posted. Otherwise, there was an email sent to you this week, and the lyrics are posted in there too. Or if you don't have the lyrics in front of you, you can just hum or just move your lips. But let's all join together and sing. Make it in whom we live.
Thank you, Mr. Dave. The music is sounding really good today. I think we're finally getting there with the way that this is being produced. This is the time of our celebrations. I don't have any in my mind at this point. What celebrations would any of you like to lift up? Feel free to unmute yourself.
As I said earlier, I'm grateful to the Lord for a good medical report this week.
Excellent, excellent. Wayne,
I'd celebrate that Dave and I did make it to Houston, and we are spending a couple of weeks with Darren and Jenna and Owen.
Oh, are you coming in from Houston?
No, we're in Houston for a couple of weeks. Oh, I am, yes, right now. Yes, I'm in Houston.
Coming in from Houston, great.
Yes, and it's only 9 o'clock here and he's asleep. So if he wakes up in time for coffee hour, I will show him off.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, Reverend Carroll. So yeah, I will certainly celebrate that between your prayers and the good surgeon, I was cleared to walk without crutches on Friday, like 12 days after surgery, which is pretty amazing.
Excellent. Good. Glad to hear all those good reports. Very good. If there are no other celebrations, then let us change to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning, of course, for all people who are ill and others in need of prayer, and we include these special people in our prayers today. We pray for Loretta, for Chad, for Roberta, for Wayne, for Doris, for Cher, for Brigida, for Lee, that's Tyson's sister, for Bert, Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Matt and his family, for Marie, for Ed and Janet. I believe Janet is still at Life Care Center. For Raylan, the 12-year-old girl who is battling cancer. We remember those who are in nursing homes and assisted living. Especially we pray for Bud, for Jackie, and for Carol. And we continue to pray for all people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all on the forefront of that battle, those who suffer from addictions. And as always, we pray for the health of our nation and our communities as we face these difficult days together. So please join with me in a moment of prayer, and in the time of silence, please feel free to lift up any other names into God's presence in the privacy of your home or wherever you are. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, be with us in this time of prayer. Calm our spirits and lead us into the place of peace. We pray for the good of your church around the world and right here in Attleboro Falls. Through our actions, may we proclaim your goodness and love today and every day. Bless our nation, especially in the midst of this pandemic, that there may be peace within our gates and prosperity within our borders. Give grace to our elected leaders that our common allegiance to justice may be strong and the nation confident in the united and mutual support of our people for our common values and vision. Bless our families and our children. Protect them from illness, from cruelty and violence at home, at school, and in our neighborhoods. Renew our commitment to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of our Lord Jesus. Give health, comfort, and strength to those who are sick, those who are bereaved or weakened by disease or accident. We ask a special blessing upon all of those whose names we have mentioned and pray that you would attend also to those whose names we now share at home or wherever we are in this time of silence. Great God, as you led your people through the wilderness to the promised land, so you have led many of our loved ones through the troubles of life and into the rest prepared for your people. Guide our steps that we may not wander from the way before us. In Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, to him with you and the Holy Spirit be all praise and thanksgiving, world without end. Amen.
Care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
For our scripture lesson today, I just want to make sure that I'm on here. We are continuing our reading in the book of Matthew. If you remember last week, we left Jesus. He had just overturned the money changers' tables, and he's still in the temple courtyard. Now he's teaching. The Pharisees and the Sadducees apparently felt threatened by the authority with which he spoke. They kept trying to entrap him by asking difficult questions about the laws of Moses, so they could bring him before the Jewish authorities and claim he was guilty of breaking those laws. I will be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Please hear these words. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
So the religious people of Jesus' day were threatened by Jesus because he was revealing to the religious leaders that they had forgotten the part of the Mosaic code to wield justice and mercy instead of raw power. So those leaders of the faith got together trying to entrap Jesus and discredit him with their questions. So they asked him about paying taxes. They asked him about rising from death. We read today that they asked him, what was the greatest commandment of all? The Jewish rabbis like to distill the meaning of religion into little phrases like the ones we are familiar with in advertising on TV and in print, like, I know you can finish this phrase, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup, right? I don't even drink coffee, and I know that one. I've been brainwashed by that one. The problem for the Mosaic Code was that they now had 632 laws and rules for the practice of their religion. They tried to break it down into a couple of inclusive commandments, but I suspect that was not an easy task, because we know that wherever two or three are gathered, there will be two or three separate opinions as to the rank of importance, even if we only had the Ten Commandments to go by. So they asked him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus combined two commandments from the early Hebrew scriptures and put them together. The first is something that Jewish people call the Shema, which means hear. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." That comes from the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And then he turns to the great commandment in Leviticus 19. "You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason with your neighbor, lest you bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear any grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So Jesus answers very correctly from the Jewish scriptures. You must love the Lord your God, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. So if we look at those two commandments, we begin to see that for Jesus, religion is distilled into three things: love of self, love of God, and love of other people. So let's start talking first with we must love ourselves. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is often difficult for us to do or to understand. Too often we are given cues that we shouldn't love ourselves. We're taught not to blow our own horn, to brag, but to be humble. And sometimes we mistake humility for self-hatred. There's a difference between self-love and egotism or narcissism. Self-love means we all understand that we are a person of incredible worth in the eyes of God. After all, Genesis tells us that we were created in the image of God. It says in Genesis, God said, "Let us make humans in our image and after our likeness." And you may remember the old saying, I think it was very popular around the 1970s, perhaps, "God don't make no junk." We are godly made. We are not junk. And we discover that we have more than one pandemic going on right now. And the other pandemic is in suicide, particularly among young people. It's going up all the time. In an average year in the United States, 22,000 people kill themselves and 100,000 more try. The real cause for such attempts, say the psychiatrists, is a sense of guilt and a desire to punish oneself, self-hatred. G.K. Chesterton, an English writer, philosopher, and lay theologian, has been referred to as the Prince of Paradox. And he writes of the great lesson of Beauty and the Beast, that a thing must be loved before it can be lovable. If we are God's creation, and if we are created like God, we must think well of ourselves. We are all well made. We are God's handiwork. We are created like our very creator. In a day when self-worth is very low, in a time when so much introspection is encouraged, and when human nature is looked upon with suspicion, we need to say boldly, we are God made, and God makes us well. It would be blasphemy to hate ourselves, since God is our creator and has proven that he loves us. You read in the newspapers about a whole community turning out to find a lost child. Hundreds of people gather around a mine shaft while they searched for a lost miner. A whole nation reacts and prays while someone or several people are held hostage for whatever reason. We have that same kind of lavish attention focused on us by God. We know inherently that there's something sacred about life, any life. If people would turn out a community to find a lost child or dig out a lost miner, think how much more concern God has about each one of our lives. When we finally stop putting ourselves down and respect who and what we are, there are many benefits. We can much better be able to live with others. We have a newfound peace with ourselves. We can better live with ourselves because we are often our own worst enemies. We can handle almost anything life deals out when we fully realize that we are God made, God saved, and God loved. So first, we must learn to love ourselves. Only then can we love God. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This means that we give our full commitment to God. It calls for us to have a total love which dominates and directs our thoughts and actions. We are created for love and worship. We are made to pour ourselves into a cause. We are created to give, to love with our whole self. Jesus says, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. A columnist writing in the Chicago Daily News commented on an interview with the Secretary of the Army concerning that big scandal at West Point in 1977. During that time, 151 cadets were dismissed for having violated the Academy's moral code against cheating. The Secretary, in discussing the cause of the scandal, reported that at least 2/5 of the cadets at West Point in 2 different classes were involved. And asked what he thought the causes were, he brought up that he thought it was the removal of mandatory chapel. The Secretary was amazed. He said, "Who among us would have thought of this effect of removing chapel?" The cadets felt that the sanctity was driven out of the moral code. The Daily News writer observed that it is hard for societies to have institutional morality when the individual does not have a personal morality based on some kind of personal belief. We need to love God. Our loving God shapes our lifestyle and our morals and gives content to our ethical decisions. And finally, we are told we must also love our neighbors. You must love your neighbor as yourself. When this rule was first given to the Pharisees, it came from Leviticus 19:18, and it meant that they should love their fellow Jews only. But Jesus gave this a very new interpretation with his parable of the Good Samaritan. If you remember, the Samaritans were enemies of the Jews, but who came to the rescue of the Jewish person traveling that had been put upon? It was a Samaritan, an enemy. We are called to love all people and especially those who need our love. It's surely true that in order to love well our neighbor, we must first love our God, love ourselves, and then and only then are we capable of loving others. The bigot, the racially prejudiced, the hate monger who is always the person who has a low opinion of himself, I believe is always the person who has a low opinion of himself or herself. Religion for Jesus was loving self, loving God, and loving neighbor. And he would put more teeth in that and said that the only way we can show we love God is by loving others. Lewis Austin said in a book he wrote, "Our Maker gave us 2 hands, one to hold on to God and one to reach out to God's people. If our hands are full of struggling to get possessions, we cannot hang on to God or to others very well. If, however, we hold on to God who gave us our lives, then his love can flow through us and out to our neighbor. If a person still draws color and class lines of human beings, if they're holding a grudge, it probably means that they desperately need to grow in their love of God and respect for their own self-worth. Then they will not need to tramp on someone else in order to raise their opinion of themselves. It's only when we love God that we understand that many other people truly are lovable." One psychologist recently wrote what he thought was the plight of many gripers and complainers and cranks. He said this: they want to love their neighbor, but they don't know how. Never having received love, they cannot give love. They have become hard and cold, relentless and loveless in their attitude towards life. This attitude has further isolated them from others. Though they are in the crowd, they are not a part of the fellowship. Is there any greater challenge to the Christian faith than to bring the love of God to those folks so that they might learn to love other people? So the question today is, are we players or are we spectators? Are we disciples or are we gripers? I would hope that others could say of us as a congregation and as individuals, they respect themselves, they love their God, and they love all of God's people. Amen and amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. This concludes our service for today, and if you'd like to stick around and to chat, welcome to our virtual coffee hour.